set.
Okay, here we go. We're going live in 3, 2, 1.
Grab your mason jars. Strap on that apron. It's time for Canning with the Diva. Making her mark across the globe. Teaching you how to safely preserve delicious recipes. Please welcome your host, Diane Devereaux,
the Canning Diva.
Thank you for tuning in. I'm Diane Devereaux, the Canning Diva, and you are listening to Canning with the Diva. So happy to have you tuning in. We have another fun segment that we are going to focus on fermentation, and we're going to talk about cabbage in particular and what fermentation does for us and how healthy it is, of course. And then I'm going to provide for you a cold storage recipe so that you can make what's called raw sauerkraut and enjoy that any time of the year by just pulling that from your refrigerator or your root cellar or any area in which you deem cold storage within your home or your property. Okay, so let's get started. We're going to first dive into what fermentation really is. Many individuals will often intertwine or intermix fermentation with pickling. However, there is a distinct difference. Fermentation is a chemical reaction, and it occurs naturally in some foods such as fruit. So for instance, those of you that are familiar with fermenting apples to get vinegar, or maybe potatoes to get vodka, even though that's not a fruit. It's that same concept. And again, it's this natural process. Now, it has been used to make wine for at least 8,000 years or more. So in that case, it's grapes being fermented and creating wine. Those of you that are familiar with yogurt making, to make yogurt from milk, that is a fermentation process, and that has been going on in our history for more than 5,000 years. And even more so, leavened bread has been a part of our existence for over 3 millennia. So fermentation is something that has been a part of our existence for quite some time. And it wasn't until 1854 that Louis Pasteur actually defined what fermentation truly is. And so that we are all on the same page, fermentation is the decomposition in the absence of air. Okay, so what we're doing when we're taking that apple, potato, grape, milk, in many cases, like today we're going to talk about sauerkraut, so we're talking about cabbage. In many cases, it's any type of fruit or vegetable. What we're doing is we are allowing that to decompose, or I know this doesn't sound very palatable, but we're allowing it to rot, essentially, in a controlled environment. Now, if you caught what I first said, it occurs naturally in some foods. So not every food is something that we could maybe decompose in the absence of air or free oxygen and wind up with a good outcome. Not everything is going to provide you with a beautifully fermented product, such as wine, vinegar, yogurt, and so on. So the process of using yeast or bacteria to convert sugar or other carbohydrates into either an acid or an alcohol is essentially fermentation. Okay, fermentation will only happen in that oxygen-free environment, or you may have heard me say on more than one occasion, an anaerobic environment, which means the absence of free oxygen. And all of us that are familiar with canning, you know, we've been canning for quite some time, we understand that every time we put food in a jar and that lid seals, no more air is getting in there, right? That is an anaerobic environment. So the reason we can do this as canners is because we have the mechanisms at our disposal. Now, in the past, many individuals, home canners specifically, they had several ways they would naturally ferment food. And oftentimes it was done in a crock. So those of you that still do that, hats off to you, because that is a very tricky way in which to ferment, whether it be cabbage or cucumbers. You are creating that anaerobic environment in the crock and keeping things covered long enough to allow a fermentation to take place. What you don't want, however, is exposure to a lot of oxygen or other variants in the home, whether that be, you know, your own, you know, hands going into the jar, giving way, or not jar, but into the crock, giving way to bacteria or pets or pests, you know, getting bugs in there. What we don't want is the transformation from a controlled fermentation to an uncontrolled rotting. That's why many individuals back away from the old adage of, you know, making pickles in a crock, because it's not only a lot of work, but you really have to work so much harder controlling the environment. So today's recipe that we're going to go over, raw sauerkraut, it is all done in mason jars. It is very easy. And the beauty is we're controlling the environment within the jar, okay? But then we're controlling the environment even further by keeping it in cold storage to avoid any rotting, okay? Now, there are five things that I want to share with you that the process of fermentation creates, or what it really does. And these five things are important to note, because more often than not, we're understanding probiotics. We're understanding gut flora now in today's society. We're far more cognizant of things that, yeah, okay, in those past millennials or in those past, you know, thousand or plus years, they knew that these items were healthy. They just didn't really, maybe couldn't articulate why. Well, we know why now. And now, as you've always heard me say, knowledge is power. And these five processes of fermentation, these things that result as that process of fermentation, are more and more reasons why we should explore this as fellow canners and food preservers, because we can do a lot of healthy benefit for ourselves in our own homes. So the process of fermentation, what first and foremost it does is it renders the food resistant to spoilage, okay? Microbial is the proper word. But we're not going to let all of those microscopic particles spoil. And you certainly aren't going to, during the process of fermentation, develop toxins. And the reason fermenting doesn't permit spoilage or toxins is because what I said earlier, what we're doing with that yeast or bacteria is we are converting it. Okay, we're converting the sugar, the carbs, we're converting it into acid or alcohol. Anything with a highly acidic environment, remember, come on, canners, I've taught you this. The likelihood of any foodborne pathogen or any toxin such as botulism toxin cannot survive because of the highly acidic environment. So the cool thing with fermenting is it renders the food resistant to those things, okay? Which leads me into the second very important is it inhibits the transfer of pathogenic organisms. So all those foodborne pathogens we have to worry about when we're home canning and preserving and making sure that we're processing things properly, the beauty with fermenting is it doesn't allow the transfer of those organisms. So we're not going to be having an environment that breeds them, and we're certainly not going to consume them because of that acidic environment. So those are two very important things. If you're new to fermenting, but you've been, you know, making your way as a canner into water bathing and pressure canning, fermenting, just it's part of it. And again, because of the highly acidic environment, it's going to be a lot easier and less worrisome, especially if you're new. Another thing that I wanted to point out with the process of fermentation is it improves digestion and the absorption of nutrients from the foods that we eat. So it's pretty exciting to know that as you get your digestive system back on track by eating properly fermented foods that have all of those healthy attributes, keeping your gut flora healthy, improving your digestion means that when you eat anything, okay, not just your fermented food, but when you eat anything after your gut has been repaired, you are absorbing more of the nutrients from that food. And overall, that's the whole point of eating, right? We're consuming this food to be as healthy as possible, to give us fuel, to help our cells regenerate, to have energy. I mean, we all know what it's like to be hungry all day and you can't wait to either grab lunch or dinner and you start kind of getting groggy or it's harder to concentrate. Some of us even get hangry. You know, the beauty of consuming food is it's giving us back what we've either burnt off or utilized so that we can keep going. And it's good to know that through the process of fermentation, as we improve our digestion, we actually then absorb more of the nutrients every day from everything we eat. Now, the process of fermentation, very much like canning, the fourth thing here, it preserves food between the time of harvest and consumption. So today, again, we're talking about cabbage. Cabbage is pretty bountiful, even in our grocery stores, clear into December, sometimes January. Those of you with winter gardens, because you have the right means to keep things heated during the winter months, you could actually be enjoying fresh cabbage or greens all year round. The beauty of fermentation is we are preserving food the moment it's picked until we consume it, just like when we're home canning other items. And the last is fermenting actually enhances the flavor of the food. So those of you like me who love sauerkraut or kimchi, you're actually enjoying a very well enhanced flavor that you might not have noticed had you not fermented the food first. So any of you have ever taken a bite of, you know, just raw cabbage, it's quite bland. There's not much to it, right? Typically when we're frying up some cabbage in a skillet, we have to add, you know, garlic and onions and maybe some salt, pepper, some seasonings. Well, as you ferment cabbage, it doesn't have to be seasoned. It is actually making that flavor more abundant. And so it's pretty interesting, the process of fermentation enhancing said flavor. That's why cabbage is just one of the many things that we can ferment in a jar. I could probably talk for hours about various different recipes, but as you know, especially in the last 5 to 7 years, there's been manufactured apparatuses that can go on top of the jars so that you can create your own fermented recipe. I'm happy to say that this concept really isn't new. We're just finding new ways to make it relevant and easy for us in the home. Well, that leads me to my next spot here about fermentation being one of the simplest methods for preserving food. So not only does it make your food more nutritious and more digestible, it actually is one of the simplest. So for those of you new canners out there, if you're new to canning and you've only maybe done jam or salsa, fermenting is a really fun way to keep upping your game, giving yourself healthy, things in a jar, foods in a jar, but also a great way to start because it is simple. Fermented foods are also shown to contain more vitamin C and let's see here, milks. So if you do fermented milk products, I know some of you like to even do raw milk. They have ample amounts, of B vitamins. So the bioavailability of these vitamins increase with fermentation. And right now in the middle of winter here in Michigan, we got about, 15 inches of snow the other day. Having extra vitamin C on hand is not a bad thing because those of us in that snow belt, we know that it's cold and flu season. So we want to do the right things to keep as healthy as possible. And how funny is that, that something fermented like sauerkraut will help you achieve that. So pretty awesome. You know, in Michigan, cabbage makes its debut about, August. And then it may continue to harvest throughout the month of December. But I typically will make this recipe in the fall. I'm sharing it with you now because I saw that cabbage went on sale. So I know it may not have come from some place here in Michigan, but I know that if I buy a nice organic head of cabbage, I'm going to be putting it into a jar, fermenting that properly, and enjoying that come spring. Okay, so before we dive into the recipe, I want to share just a few more of the health benefits with you for why we want to ferment food, and specifically sauerkraut or cabbage, because I want you to know that there's more to just sauerkraut or in some cases, individuals like to do kimchi is probably the most other popular besides sauerkraut. But if you have a favorite fruit or vegetable, definitely fermenting that in a jar is going to bring forth some really awesome health benefits. So go ahead and take a look at some recipes out there that are specific to fermentation, not pickling, okay? We're not having to add any salt to this. We're not breaking down anything within the jar. You can add some salt, sea salt preferably, but again, pickling requires a huge abundance of salt because that's what it's utilizing, that and vinegar, which is already a fermented substance, right? Remember how we said earlier it comes from fruit? So it's a bit different in the way that it's not going through that entire decomposition process. Whereas fermentation, once we start breaking apart the integrity of the various fruit or vegetable, and we start decomposing it in an anaerobic environment, we are reaping some major health benefits. So let's talk about those for a second. So another health benefit outside of it being just packed full of vitamin C is it has a lot of probiotics or good bacteria, and it's formed because of that fermentation process. Now, this can be seen, you know, by the ever-increasing popularity of, it's called lactobacillus, okay, or lactobacilli. Now, that is the good bacteria that you're going to see oftentimes in yogurt. Many of you have seen the commercial on TV for Activia, right? They always focus on that good bacteria and they talk about the probiotics from eating their particular yogurt. Well, that same good bacteria is abundant in all fermented foods. So supplementing our diet with fermented foods offers us several health benefits, such as reducing high cholesterol levels in your blood. It strengthens and supports our digestive and our immune systems, hence all that amazing vitamin C, right? And it provides aid to our bodies to help fight off and prevent diseases like cancer even. So whether you're, you know, a traditional canner fermenting a crock full of pickles, or you're going to do today's recipe, which is my cold stored raw sauerkraut, or you have something, you know, a recipe passed down from generations on, you know, your family's kimchi. Just make sure that whatever it is you ferment, you incorporate it into your diet because you definitely want the added health benefits. And then one fun fact here, I thought this was pretty cool. So when I was doing some research to better, you know, understand fermentation and all of its health benefits, I thought it was pretty fascinating that there was a document that has been saved, obviously, for quite some time now, back when the Great Wall of China was built, okay, the gentleman who orchestrated or engineered that grand feat and supervised all of the workers, okay, to build that Great Wall of China. Now, mind you, this is around 300 BC, okay, before Christ. He provided a variety of fermented vegetables as part of the workers' rations. So how cool is that to know that he may not have fully been able to articulate, like we're saying today right now, the, you know, probiotics and vitamin C and what have you, but he was smart enough to know that in order to keep that wall project moving forward, in order for it to be timely and built well and not, you know, run out of support and help from his workers, he had to keep them adequately fed. And so how cool is it that he incorporated fermented vegetables as part of the rations to keep the workers healthy so that they could get the job completed? And that wall is still standing today. That's one of the wonders of the world. So I thought that was pretty fascinating to know that, you know, we're here in, you know, 2021 talking about fermentation, and this is something that we're just continuing to pass on for generations. So it's pretty fascinating. Okay, so let's dive into the recipe. Now, this recipe, like I said, has been around for quite some time. I actually posted this raw sauerkraut recipe on my website, oh my goodness, back when I first started the Canning Diva. So I want to say about 10 years ago. This is the sauerkraut that we eat in my family. And this is something that I make sometimes twice a year. Like I said, I'm out. So I saw the cabbage on sale. So you know what I'll be doing this week. But the beauty with this is you can just start with a couple heads of cabbage, make yourself as much as you feel you're going to consume within whatever time frame. So if this is something you want to preserve in cold storage once a quarter, if you eat a lot of sauerkraut and this is something you just need to stock up on and you have that cold storage space, you do what's right for you. Today's recipe is just going to provide you with 4 quarts at a time, okay? So if you want more, you go ahead and increase it. If this is too much, if you live alone and you just want to have a couple quarts on hand, by all means, just do what's right for you. You may also, even though this recipe is given to you in quarts, you may preserve it in pints. Again, for those of you that live alone, or for the longest time, my kids wouldn't eat sauerkraut when they were young, so it was like just me. I like preserving it in pints for that reason. So I'm not making such a large batch that I'm going to have to consume over the next few days. I can make what I need and keep the rest in cold storage, growing those amazing probiotics. Okay, so this recipe calls for 16 cups of cabbage shredded. And my biggest tip to you is shredding it as thin as possible. So that way you have a very even consistent width. If you like yours to be a bit thicker, by all means, knock yourself out, do whatever width you feel is comfortable. But I typically will shred about I'll shred it so it's about 1/8 inch thick, sometimes maybe 1/4 inch thick. Okay, you're going to want to put 2 teaspoons of cumin seed per quart jar. And if you're canning in pints, it'll be 1 teaspoon per pint. And then you're also going to add 2 teaspoons of mustard seeds per jar. And again, if you're canning in a pint, just go ahead and cut that in half. But for your quarts, 2 teaspoons of cumin and mustard seeds per jar. Then what I want you to do is I want you to, after the jars are prepped with the seeds, the cabbage is shredded, I'd like you to get 5 cups of water and 3.5 tablespoons of sea salt. Please make sure it is actual sea salt, no table salt, no canning salt. We want Celtic or Mediterranean sea salt in this recipe. It is very important because we are wanting the best ingredients to enhance this fermentation process. We want to make sure that we are getting proper minerals. I don't want you to use something like table salt that's going to have a bunch of additives. It defeats the purpose. Okay. Now, I get asked all the time, Diane, you said go ahead and do 4 quarts, but what size jar, you know, mouth should I pick? Well, because of the packing process, because we are raw packing this, I highly suggest using wide mouth jars, whether it be pint or quart. If all you have on hand is regular mouth, don't worry about it. It's going to work just fine. But you will find that if you have a wide mouth jar, it's a lot easier to work with. After your cabbage is shredded, go ahead and place all that cabbage in a bowl. And what you're going to do is use either a potato masher or a wooden kitchen mallet, because your goal here is now to take and break open and cause the exterior of the cabbage to be damaged. Okay, you want to pound it, hit it, smack it, smash it, And you want to do this in a plastic or a glass bowl. Okay, so when I say pound it, don't go crazy, right? Especially if you're using glass. The only thing I don't want you to use is a metal bowl. We don't want to have anything reactive. So any non-reactive bowl will work. And if you have to work in batches because you don't have a large enough bowl to hold all 16 cups, that's okay too. Do what works for you in your home. And just spend a few minutes trying to pound the, and I just use a potato masher, guys. It doesn't have to be, you're not going to see juice squirting out. It doesn't have to be perfect, but you just want to spend a few minutes per each batch as you're working through those 16 cups, smashing it about, breaking it open. You want to cause some injury to that exterior of the cabbage. Now, after that's done, I want you to fill each quart jar by packing it in extremely tight. So I use a wooden spoon. Sometimes I'll use the air bubble remover tool, and I'll add like a nice handful or two, pack it down, add another handful or two, pack it down. I just go ahead and keep cramming it in there until you have a generous 1-inch headspace. Okay. Now the 5 cups of water and that 3.5 tablespoons of Celtic or Mediterranean sea salt, go ahead and get that salt into the water and stir it until it is dissolved. You want it fully dissolved, okay? And what you're going to do is you're going to add that salted water to the cabbage that's in the jar. And you're going to then use your air bubble remover tool, and you're going to press the cabbage down to remove any excess air bubbles. You're also welcome to lightly tamp the bottom of the jar onto the cutting board. Just give it a nice little tap. Or tamp it down. You want to release whatever air bubbles are trapped and go ahead and add additional liquid so that that way you get back up to that generous 1-inch headspace. Once all of your jars are filled with that salted water, I want you to go ahead and wipe each jar rim with a washcloth dipped in vinegar, and then go ahead and add a sterilized lid and a ring, and then just tighten that by hand. If you unfortunately run out of the salted liquid, it's because what happens is you're not packing in enough cabbage. And so you're having too much space for moisture and not enough space, or liquid, I should say, not moisture, liquid, and not enough space for actual substance, you know, the food itself. So you want that cabbage, I mean, really pack it in there tight, okay? If you find that you've packed it tight, you went through your cabbage, you don't know what happened to all that water, not a problem. If you don't have much left to fill, you're welcome to cut that in half so that way you're not wasting any of the salted water. But don't deviate much further. You really want to stick to that ratio. Cutting it in half makes the math not too tricky, right? But again, I'd rather you err on the side of just making a whole nother batch and not using it all versus trying to play with the math and then getting that ratio wrong. Okay, so now once everything is filled, your lids are, you're on there, they're hand tightened, you're going to just place those jars on a dish towel and you're going to put them on your countertop. You're going to leave them in your kitchen at room temperature for 3 days, okay? It needs to be a full 72 hours because what you're doing in that normal room temperature is you are allowing the natural fermentation to take place. Now, there's going to be times, depending on where you live and the temperature of your home, that some of that liquid, that fermentation, because it's active and it's alive, some of it might bubble and seep out of the jar. That is totally fine and totally normal. It's why I told you to put your jars on top of a dish towel, because you want them to, the dish towel to absorb any liquid that may have escaped. There's nothing wrong with it. Just don't remove that lid. Don't remove the ring. Let it do its thing. If it's getting excessive, you're welcome to wipe it off, but do not take off the lid or the ring. Because after 72 hours, you're going to now transfer these jars to cold storage. And like I said, most of us are using our refrigerators. I'm blessed to have a second refrigerator in my garage. So many of you have root cellars, which I'm so jealous. I can't wait to one day have one. And whatever you're using for cold storage, okay, you're going to want to get those jars in there after 72 hours. And by all means, wipe the jars off using a warm, you know, soapy washcloth. Because the one time I failed to do so, I had a little bit of seepage while it was in my refrigerator. And oh my goodness, trying to get the jar off of the shelf in the refrigerator, it was stuck like crazy glue. It was a nightmare. So just keep your jar clean, especially your first few days in cold storage. It's going to continue to possibly be active and seep out maybe a touch. I recommend maybe putting some paper towel down in your refrigerator. This is all very normal. But what's happening is the good stuff. You are fermenting that cabbage. Now, you do not want to disturb the jars for at least 2 to 3 weeks. The longer you can let it sit, the better it's going to be. So they say after 3 days of fermenting, you're welcome to eat it. I have found that leaving it at least 6 weeks gives it the best flavor. And I've noticed after 6 weeks, it doesn't really change in flavor. So if you're really looking to pull the full flavor from the cabbage, anything 6 weeks or longer is going to give you the best result. But hey, I get it. You know, you're hankering for some sauerkraut after putting all this time and effort into making raw sauerkraut. You're like, okay, I can't wait any longer. I got to have a jar of this pronto. I totally get it. But just know that allowing the fermentation process to do its thing and letting it sit longer in storage is going to produce a better result. So keep that in mind. If you are interested in some fun recipes on how to utilize your raw sauerkraut and meal creation, my cookbook, Canning Full Circle, it was the first book I independently published and I'm very blessed to receive an IPPI award for. Canning Full Circle is available on Amazon and also on my website at canningdiva.com. The reason I created Canning Full Circle is I myself as a canner had such a blast, you know, making fun recipes, whether it was my own or it was family's or something I stumbled upon online. But oftentimes I couldn't find a way in which to utilize the food once it was in a jar. Okay, you know what I mean. The obvious stuff is great. But some things I was like, well, now what am I going to do with it? So I created Canning Full Circle to give you recipes from the garden to the jar to the table so that you could utilize your home canned goods in more than just jams and salsas. You know what I mean? So definitely take a look at that book if you are interested in cooking with some of your home canned goods, including your raw sauerkraut. And of course, if you have any questions or you want to share some feedback, head over to Facebook or Instagram and be sure to post me a note or shoot me a message. And you're also welcome to email me at diane@canningdiva.com. Thank you so much for tuning in. I look forward to another fun episode of Canning with the Diva. We're going to share all kinds of fun recipes, techniques, history of food, the nutritional value. And of course, my main goal is to teach you how to preserve it for long-term storage. Thank you and happy canning.
Thank you for listening. Be sure to tune in next week for another episode of Canning with the Diva. For tips, recipes, and techniques, please visit us online at canningdiva.com.